How you doing today? Hey, I hope you're on major momentum by this point, doing a lot of the little things we talked about and knowing that each day, each little step you take is truly beginning to move you in the direction of creating the body you deserve, not just for the moment, the week, the month, but for your life. I seriously, again, want to congratulate you. Each day, you're building on the day before, and you're beginning to set yourself up with habits that make a difference in the quality of your life. And today, really what I want to focus on is this thing we call binging. Now, have you ever done that? Have you ever found yourself going by a donut shop and just feeling like something possessed you and pulled you off to the side of the road and you just had to stuff these jelly-filled donuts in your mouth? Have you ever found yourself having to have chocolate truffles? Have you ever found yourself having to have mass quantities of food where it was like a have-to, not a should, not a maybe, maybe I'd like to do it, but it was a have-to? I don't know about you, but I haven't had the chocolate truffles or the donut desires for a decade or so, but I certainly have had those times where, like, some food I gotta have, or an amount of food is just, it's out of proportion. And I think this emotion, this state we talked about yesterday of urgency, we must be able to master, as I said yesterday, if we really want to change our life. So the big question is, what creates it? Now, yesterday we talked about external cues, right? We talked about those things in our environment that might trigger us. We talked about mental focus and looking at certain things or thinking about things in a way where we all of a sudden really feel like we need it. We talked about how that tends to lead to the state of urge or urgency where we got to have something, how that leads to behavior and how that leads to consequences. But what I really want to focus on today is what's behind it all. What really is behind? What are you trying to get out of food? Are you trying to really get food out of food? Are you trying to get nutrition out of food? Or are you trying to get something else, some kind of emotion, some kind of change in your emotions or feelings? And when you're in this binge state, it's because you're in a state of pressure in your body. You have so much pressure, so much tension. You have so much need to act. You've got to change the way you feel and you think food or a particular food is the only way to do it, and you're going to do it now no matter what, even though intellectually you know better. Even though intellectually you know after you're done, you're going to feel like heck, saying, my gosh, why did I do that? Why did I eat that? That's not good for me. Haven't you run this pattern at least once in your life? I have a feeling maybe more than once. Or you've seen other people do it at least. I know you've never done it, but other people do it, and you can be entertained by watching them. The point of the matter is, what is behind it? What are you trying to get? What are you hoping food will give you that it never really gives you, which is why you're always looking for more? You're trying to fill up some empty feeling inside? I would suggest to you that when we get to a level where food is like the absolute god of our lives, where all of a sudden it becomes the highest focus of your life, where all of a sudden in that moment you've got to have it no matter what, that rarely is that really physical. I know there's some exceptions, but rarely. Usually, it's because your emotions are being driven to their greatest point of fear. And in the human experience, as we've already talked about, we're driven by two forces. And I keep saying it because repetition is the mother of skill, and we've got to remember this. We all are trying to do anything we can to avoid pain or to gain pleasure. But what's interesting about human beings is we'll do much more to avoid pain. We'll do more to avoid a sense of loss than we'll ever do out of our desire for gain. Think about it. Will people work harder to make $25,000 or keep someone from stealing the $25,000 they already got? You know darn well what the answer is. Most of us in life are triggered by this fear of loss. And I'm here to tell you that I believe that most binge eating, at least, where we get out of control, where we know better intellectually, but we do it anyway, is coming out of a fear of loss. Now, what am I talking about? Number one fear of loss is loss of the opportunity to change how you feel. In other words, loss of pleasure sensations or loss of the ability to get out of pain. Most people say, you know, I know chocolate's not that great for me, but it tastes so darn good. You know, I can give it up for a while, but I just can't even imagine giving it up for good. The only way I could do that is if I thought it was going to kill me or something. But I know it's not going to do that, so I can't give it up long term. I keep going back to it. Why do they keep going back to it? Because they know it's a consistent way to get pleasure. And to give up a consistent way to get pleasure, one you know that works, for most people, that is real scary. And to give it up for a short time, we can deprive ourselves by saying, well, by giving up a little pleasure now, I'll get even more pleasure in the future because then I'll go to this great dance or I'll go to this great event and I'll look good and I'll feel good and everything will be great. But the problem is after that dance or that compelling event is over, you return because you don't want to lose the ability to change your state. Isn't that at least one of the fears of loss that sometimes you carry that drives your behavior? I can tell you one I know I experienced. I experienced it a couple days ago. I experienced it was coming here to the studio. I think I mentioned I was in a position where I hadn't eaten in almost a day and a half. And it was just because I was so busy. I was doing one meeting, another meeting, another meeting. I was finishing at 1:30 or 2 in the morning. I didn't want to eat real late and wake up the next morning. I took off again. I didn't take any time. And I came to the studio and knew I was going to be here for 4 or 5 hours. And then after that, I was going to 2 more meetings. And sure enough, I was going to get home at 1 or 2 again. And my brain started going, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? You know, if I don't stop and get something to eat here, I may never eat again. You know, a real logical approach to life, right? But we do this with food. Why are we doing it? Because it's not about food. It's about the fear of deprivation. It's about the fear of not being able to have something we desperately want, the ability to feel the sensations we desire or avoid the sensations we want to avoid. That is the number one fear. And we will do almost anything to keep from feeling like we're losing that, or maybe losing just the ability to change our state, period. See, most people are eating to change their state, change their emotional state, from being bored into feeling better, from being overwhelmed into giving themselves a little pleasure in the moment. Feeling they can escape the pain they're surrounded by being around things they don't feel like they can control. And by the way, that's the fourth thing that I think most people are afraid of losing. They're afraid of losing control. And yet that's the very thing you're doing when you begin to binge or overeat or eat something you don't want. But sometimes it's like we rebel against ourselves. We've got these rules, say, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. Our brain finally says, man, I can't do anything. I'm losing control of my own life. I have to respond to all these outside rules. This is not what I want. Or some people don't want to lose social ties or social emotion. It's like, well, if I don't eat this way, then I won't get to enjoy myself because, gosh, every time I'm around these friends, they eat this way. If I don't eat this way, then I won't have these feelings. We have so many things we've learned to link to food in our culture. I think food, sex, and money are the three big triggers in this culture in terms of emotional intensity that we wrap a lot of pain and pleasure into. By the way, if you can master it with food, you can do it with any of the other issues of your life. And by the way, not only if you can and you will. But the key is awareness. So you've got to be able to understand that this is not an issue about food. This is an issue about scarcity. This is an issue about, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to get what I need. I'm not going to get what I want. I'm going to miss out. I'm going to be deprived. If I'm deprived, I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose out something I really want. All of a sudden, you get in a state of urgency where you've got to have something. We've got to interrupt that. Awareness is power. See, once you understand your process, you can control it. Not only control it, you can redirect it. You can reshape it. You can become the creator of your experience where you're aware of it. You're already the creator. But now you can do it consciously. And that gives you unbelievable self-esteem besides the body you deserve. It gives you the mind and the emotion and the discipline and the skill and the awareness and the pride and the dignity you deserve as well. We all deserve that. We all need to experience that. So how do we get control when we don't have this fear of loss? Well, again, first become aware of the pattern. We talked about the behavior chain in terms of understanding the dynamics on a general level. I.e. you get triggered by either a mental focus, right, or by some external trigger or by some physical cue. And again, remember, what's the second phase of the chain? Immediately, as soon as you get that trigger, you go into a state of urging something. And again, think of urging as being pressure or tension in your body, and that there are varying levels. And as the urge gets stronger, what happens? Invariably, you act on that urge with some behavior, and then pretty soon you got a result, a consequence in your body. The problem is you don't notice the full consequence until it's too late. The consequence comes well after you've already run the pattern. So what we want to do is change it. We want to get clear up front. And one of the ways to do that is become incredibly sensitized to your desire for food at a level that is inappropriate, to a level where you feel driven. Anytime you're driven to food, you got to know you're out of control. If you're out of control, you've lost your freedom. You're literally in a position where your freedom is gone. You're now being controlled by something outside. You're now Ivan Pavlov's dog, responding to those cues. And the biggest trigger of all is a mental focus in your mind that says, if I don't do this now, I'm going to lose the opportunity. If I don't do this now, I'm going to lose the pleasure. If I don't do this now, I'm going to lose the ability to change my state. If I don't do this now, I'm not going to have this experience later on, or I may never have it. That illusion, the illusion of loss, is what causes us to overeat. So how do we deal with this illusion? Well, the first step is to get so absolutely clear and so certain in your body that there is no way you can lose an opportunity. If you don't eat this now, it will be there an hour from now. It'll be there tomorrow morning. It'll be there tomorrow afternoon. And I can tell you, this was one of the critical strategies I developed that helped me. When I start saying, oh my gosh, I got to have it. I got to have it. I got to have it right now. My brain went, wait a second. It's not disappearing. It'll be there later on. I can have it. See, when I found myself saying I can't have it, you know what that did? It created an even greater fear of loss. It created a sense of deprivation. It created me saying, no, 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 I'm struggling. I gotta have it. It actually increased my desire for the food because it created a sense of scarcity. You see, in human beings, There are very few forces that will drive our desire more than scarcity. Why do people want gold? Why do people want diamonds? Why do people want certain real estate in Hawaii on the coast? Those are all nice things. What makes people desire them so deeply, so intensely, is because there's a limited quantity. There's a limited availability. There is scarcity. Scarcity drives human beings crazy, especially if there's competition. If there's any competition for some resource that is scarce, people will do almost anything to get it. I remember years ago talking to Dr. Robert Cialdini, who's an expert in influence, and he talked about how often we get scammed by organizations that create artificial scarcity and make us feel like there's a limited quantity, a limited opportunity. That's what a sale is, and we better do it right now. We're going to miss out. We'll do more to keep from missing out than we will to gain something great. We justify saying, well, it'd be even better, but what drives us is that fear of loss of something scarce and valuable. And for most of us, food is scarce and valuable, especially when we're busy, especially when many of us see it as a major way to change our state. So what we've got to be able to do is pop out of this to create more availability so there isn't the scarcity there. I'll give you a nice example that I remember Bob Cialdini gave me. And that was, he said that one of his students decided to do an experiment using scarcity. And he's working with a sales organization that actually marketed beef. And they tried almost everything they could to promote their beef and increase sales. They talked about how the animals were raised in a natural environment, how they were not given steroids or any other drugs. They talked about how these steers had less fat on them. They talked about all these wonderful benefits that should have made this beef more valuable, i.e., buying this would equal more pleasure by giving greater quality that they could potentially market. You know what? The increase in sales was hardly even measurable. But then Bob Cialdini's student came to them and said, let's try using the philosophy of scarcity and let's see what happens. They began to tell all their customers that they needed to make sure that they took their order right away for whatever beef they were going to get because they're expecting a shortage because of weather conditions and challenges in that environment that were going to cause many of these steers to die. And that already they had more orders than they could fulfill, so how many did they want? Well, as you might guess, out of the fear of scarcity, out of the fear of loss, the average order was twice the size of what it had been before. What was really fascinating is they tried a different approach with a few people. These individuals, they told them the same information, that the beef was going to be becoming scarce, that they need to order now because there was going to be a beef shortage. But they told them one other piece of information. Nobody else knows this yet. This is inside information. And as a result, when the person not only saw that things were scarce, but the information that gave them the power to make the decision was also scarce, they increased their order by 6 times anything they'd ordered before. Scarcity drives us crazy. Scarcity changes our desire for everything. Something that isn't that good tasting, as soon as it's scarce, boy, do we want it. All of a sudden, it's really, really important. I give an example of my own family. Recently, we discovered some fat-free cookies that had no sugar in them at the special health food store. And you know what? I'll never forget, they brought them home, and I tried one, and I was like, wow, this is really good, and I can't believe it's good for you. My gosh, I went back in an hour later to have another one of these cookies, and guess what? They were all gone. I couldn't believe it. We had a whole box, and they were gone. The family found out about them, obviously. So the next day, I said, hey, would you get a couple boxes of those cookies? So sure enough, you know, our chef went out, and she went to do all the shopping, came back, and she brought back 2 boxes of cookies. By the time I got in there, they were both empty. I didn't even get one. But at this point, I'm freaking out. I said, you know what? These cookies, all I want is one darn cookie. Now I want a dozen. You know, all of a sudden, I wanted more of them. I wanted more than before. I mean, at first, they were good cookies. Now, they were like the best cookies on earth. So I said, go out and get 20 boxes of these things. I want to make sure that we've got them here. So if I want to snack on them, and they're good for me, they don't fill the fat, I can come in here and have these things. So she got 20 boxes of these cookies. I came back the next day. I was so excited. I opened the cupboard. There they were, as many as they could fit in the cupboard, staring me in the face. I was like, yes! I thought to myself, there's no way in heck they can eat all these in one session. I'm in heaven. So I took out a box of these suckers and ate the whole box. I ate about 3/4 of the box in reality and then stuck it back in there for a few left. I thought about hiding all the other boxes, I got to tell you honestly. But I thought, okay, I'll just leave these things in here. And sure enough, within a few hours, they'd come. There were at least 2 or 3 boxes gone. The whole family hit it, right? People working at the house hit it. Everybody did. What happened? Well, by the second day, I had a couple cookies, and by the third day, I had one. And by the fourth day, they didn't taste so darn good anymore. After all, there's so darn many of them in there anyway. You know, they're always there. If I need one, they're there. You know what? All of a sudden, the availability was so abundant, I didn't have any desire for them. Plus, I had enough of them. I was like, I need to try something else. So you know what? Nobody else ate them either. Those darn cookies sat in there for 4 or 5 months. We got boxes of these things growing mold all over the inside just because there's plenty of it. Now, you know what? This happens in relationships too, doesn't it? You know what? When people first meet, they're like hoping, oh boy, I hope this person will even go out with me. Oh my gosh, are they? Oh my gosh, do you think I could even kiss him? Oh my goodness. And then they're around him constantly. And sure enough, after many, many years, some people get caught up in what I call the law of familiarity. Well, gosh, you know, they're always here. It's always available. We're always around each other. And all of a sudden, the desire and intensity is not as high. That's a scary thing. We can't allow scarcity to run our life. We've got to be in direct control of our own urges, our own desires, our own feelings. We got to move it to another level. Because all of a sudden, otherwise, we find things that really aren't good for us. We desire even more because they're scarce. Maybe they're scarce because we make them scarce. Because we say, well, I can't have very much of that because if I have too much of that, I'm going to get fat. But as we keep telling us we can't have it, our fear of loss, our fear of being deprived causes our desire for it to increase. It's like a losing battle. The more we try and deprive ourselves, the more we seem to want it. You got to break out of this pattern. Otherwise, you're like these people who like go out to a restaurant to meet somebody who's like their ultimate dream relationship. And they go to some restaurant or some place to meet people, and they look around, and on a scale from 0 to 10, the people they're meeting there in terms of their level of interest and excitement and their physiology and their energy, they're like a 2. But by about 2 o'clock in the morning, when they still haven't found anybody, they're going, man, this person's a 10. The same person who was a 2 earlier. Now you can't do that with your food. Come on. Don't fall into that trap. How do you break out? Know that plenty is available. Use the cookie example. Get plenty of cookies around you or know they're always there. Don't operate out of this fear of, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get it again. And I'll tell you what, this really works. I did this with myself on a regular basis, and I've done it with my wife. My wife will want something. I used to freak out because as soon as she wanted something, I love Becky, so I want to give her everything I can give her the moment she wants it. But I found so much pressure out of that. And what I learned to do is I learned that a lot of urges will just pass if you know that it's always going to be there. If you know you're not going to lose out by not having to act right now on this particular urge. I don't care if it's buying a home or an outfit or having food. We got to be able to master this. Otherwise, we're going to live in reaction to external cues instead of directing our own lives. So what I do with Becky and what I've done with myself is if all of a sudden I say I got to have something or Becky says, we have to do this thing. And I say, absolutely, honey, yes. I never say no. Because if you say no, it increases the demand and the desire. I say, absolutely, absolutely, we'll do it tomorrow. We use the tomorrow technique. She knows what I'm doing. I say, yeah, we'll do it tomorrow. Yeah, sure, sure. By not taking away, even though in our heads, we know what's going on. We know, look, it's going to be here tomorrow. The choice to still do this will be here tomorrow. We can still do this tomorrow. In other words, we've learned to procrastinate intelligently. Procrastinate on the things that you know you should never do. Don't procrastinate on things you know you need to do. You know, procrastination's a valuable tool. You just got to put it in its appropriate place. Now, what this really is doing is reminding ourselves we haven't given up anything, and that's the secret. If you want to eliminate your fear of loss, remind yourself, by not eating something right now, you've not given up anything. You got the opportunity to eat it in 5 minutes or an hour tomorrow or the next day. You got the opportunity to eat tons of it. All you've really done is given yourself the opportunity right now to not have to put something in your body that you know darn well is not going to make you feel more energized, more alive. You know that what you've given yourself the opportunity of having by not having something right now is you've given yourself the opportunity to have the body you deserve instead of the body that when you look in the mirror, you're not happy. See, this is a critical distinction. Now, how do we incorporate all this conversation into something that really is meaningful, something you'll really use? Just realize that most of the time, what's happening is you're afraid of losing something you can't lose, that your fear is a false fear. It's an illusion. It has no reality. It's just your expectation that you're going to miss out that gives you this crazy pressure and urgency in your body that makes you overeat or eat foods that don't support you or eat amounts of foods that don't support you. So what I suggest to you is this. Let's do an exercise so this becomes real for you. What I'd like you to do, we started to do a little bit of urge management yesterday, but gosh, I got to tell you something. If there's anything you want to be able to do in your life, it's to be able to change in a moment's notice your level of emotional intensity. You have to do something. You might want to increase your urge to exercise or to decrease an urge, like, oh, I got to have this chocolate truffle. That's really, really important. So what I want you to do, and by the way, you can do this with your kids, you can do this with somebody else, and have a lot of fun with it. And when I say this, what I'm about to share with you is a little exercise I want you to do. So here's how it works. I want you to get some food, and I want you to do it right away, because I want to guide you through the process. So I want you to stop the tape in a second here, but get some food that you enjoy a great deal. Now, not something you're driven crazy about, not something you want so bad you can't stand it right now, but something you really like a lot, and ideally get something that really isn't that good for you. Maybe one of those giant, juicy hot dogs full of fat that plumps up real big when you cook it and sizzles out the side and drips over the edge. It's so gooey and gross. Something that even a cow won't eat, but a human being would eat. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know what it is, but pick something right now. Go get something you know is not good for you, and you probably want right now a lot. Go get it right now. I want to show you that you absolutely are in complete control of your emotional intensity in terms of your desire for anything, and that in a moment's notice, there is no question you can take yourself from desiring something at a medium level to absolutely having to have it, to absolutely feeling neutral about it, to being disgusted by it, and then back to liking again or back to not liking it at all. In other words, you can change your emotion about any food. So I want to start, though, with one that doesn't overpower you. And by the way, if you're driving in a car, real simple. Stop the tape right now and drive to your local place where you would either binge out or your local place where you could get a food that you normally would like, and I want you to order it, but don't eat it yet. Don't bite into it. Don't do any of that stuff. Just get it, and then you're going to pull over to the side of the road, and we're going to conduct a little experiment. One you won't forget. Turn the tape off now and go get the food. Welcome back. Do you have the food in front of you, or did you take a bite of it? You didn't take a bite of it, did you? No, I hope not. I hope you didn't. I hope you were able at least to resist till you turned the tape back on. Okay, now, what are we going to do? Real simple. If you're driving, pull over. If you're on the freeway, pull over. I'll recognize you when I drive by and you're staring at this food in a weird way, okay? Now, here's what I want you to do. Very simply, with this food in front of you right now, I want you to ask yourself, on a scale from minus 10, which means disgusted out of my mind by this piece of lard, fat, scummy little thing in front of me, to, and I would never eat it because it'd probably kill me, to plus 10, meaning I got to have it right now, no matter what, nothing's going to keep me from it. Zero being neutral, where are you when you think about this food? Just look at the food and think about it. Where are you right now? What number do you give? Now, I'm assuming you gave it a positive number. And if you didn't, go get some other food you got a positive number about when you first think about it. Turn the darn tape off again. Didn't you listen to me the first time? I said, get something you really want, not something that you're driven crazy about, not something you hate. Now, I'm assuming you took my instructions appropriately and you have a positive number now as you look at it. If I'm driving you crazy on this thing, I hope so, because I want to make this process of making change fun. I hope I'm not too obnoxious, but just a lot of fun to play with you this way. How boring to listen to, how am I going to lose weight? I hope what we're doing is getting creative. So now, here's what we're going to do. You got your number. Assuming it is positive, here's my question. What's the number? And here's my next question. Move that number. I'm going to guess. I'm going to hallucinate something fierce. That this thing, this food you desire, is somewhere in the range of like a positive, let's say, 2 or 3 to a positive 7, maybe a maximum of 8. Why? Because this gives me a 60% chance of being right. You're going to think I'm really bright. I like this approach. No, seriously, that's where most people are when we do this. Now, here's what I want you to do, is that I want you to move your desire, increase your desire for that food up, let's just say a couple notches. So if you were at level 3, move it to 5. Or if an example, if you're at level 5, I want you to ratchet it up to like 7, where you desire it that much more, okay? Now, you might say, well, Tony, I don't know how to do that. I know you don't know how to do it consciously, but you sure know how to do it unconsciously because you've been doing it your whole life. Your whole life you've learned how to increase your urges. You're just not aware of it, so we're going to get aware of it. So just trust yourself. Just say, okay, I got to increase it. I got to want this more. Look at it and think to yourself, what would I have to imagine? What would I have to picture? What would I have to feel? What would I have to smell? What would I need to add to this? What would I need to do with my body in order for this to all of a sudden be at, say, 7 if I was at 5? What would I need to do to make that happen? And do that right now in your mind. Increase it. What would you have to focus on? What would you have to say to yourself? What would you have to feel? What would you have to add to the food itself? What would you need to do to get it to 7? Or to get it a couple above wherever you are right now. Just ratchet it up a few. And by the way, if you're not able to do as fast as I'm saying here, no problem. Stop the tape and keep going until you get it there and then turn me back on, okay? I'll be right here waiting for you. Go for it. Okay, welcome back. Now, my big question for you, you've ratcheted it up there, and don't give up. If you still haven't gotten it there, turn the tape back off and keep going until you get it up there. You can do it. And if you're there, which I assume you are, then what I want you to do real simply is think about what did you do to get from where you were to where you are. What did you do to increase your desire for this food? Did you start imagining adding something to it? Did you start focusing on what it would taste like, the flavor or the smell, or what it'd be like going down your throat, or the feelings you have inside? Did you say something to yourself about how great the food was? Did you smell it? Did you focus on the smell more? What did you do? What did you do to make your urge for it even stronger, your desire for it even stronger? Now, note what you did. And let's go all the way to level 10. On a scale from minus 10 to positive 10, where positive 10 is you got to have it, you got to have it right now. Move yourself up right now to positive 10 as you look at that food, as you think about it, as you feel it. If you need to, you can close your eyes. But get yourself to where you have to have it, where you're ready to grab it. But don't actually do it. Don't eat it yet. But get yourself where it's like an absolute must for you, where you desire it more than anything you can imagine, where you really want it right now. Now, again, get creative. Close your eyes. Think of whatever it's going to take to get yourself to that point. Or look at the food and do it. Or talk to yourself about it. Or get a feeling about it. Or imagine something about it. But notice how you get yourself where you got to have it. Turn off the tape until you're at level positive 10, where you must have it now. Go and do it now. Okay, welcome back. Are you level 10? Is this something you got to have? Are you waiting for me to say go ahead and bite into it? Stop. Don't go into it yet. Let me ask you this. What did you do to get to level 10 where you had to have this now? What happened inside your mind? Now, I can tell you from experience, having worked with tens of thousands of people, what most people do, and maybe you fit in this category, maybe you did it another way that's more unique. Most people, to get level 10, the first thing they do is they change their focus. They completely focus on the pleasure that they're sure they're going to get by actually tasting this food. They imagine in detail going down their throat or their taste buds touching it, or what the sensations are of chewing it. They get much more clear, much more focused on the reward, on the pleasure, and they get more vivid in that. The images become brighter and closer, more juicy. There's motion to it. They feel a sense of reward to it. That's the number one thing, a change in focus. The second thing that they often do to get to level 10 is they add something to it. So they got banana bread, now they put some chocolate on it. So now all of a sudden, by adding that flavor or adding a texture, or adding, sometimes they add a social experience where they imagine having the food with some people that are really happy. People have a whole different set of ways, but we all have ways of feeling like we're adding something to raise our intensity of desire. Now, I can give you a fun example. I did this recently with a friend of mine's children, and one was a little boy and one's a little girl. And the little girl is a vegetarian, and I mean, eats incredibly healthfully. In fact, she's probably a model for the rest of the family. But what was neat was we put this banana bread in front of her, and I said, what's your level of desire from minus 10 to plus 10 when you look at this? And I think she said, 5. And I said, okay, well, I said, increase it to level 10. I said, and I explained to her what I meant by that. I said, increase it so you really, really, really want it. So you got to have it right now. And she said, well, that's really hard to do. I don't know if I can do it. I mean, banana bread's good, but it's not that good. And I said, well, think of something that would just make you just absolutely have to have it. So she thought for a long time. And after her mom, I'd done the same thing with her mom, who said she had to put chocolate on it. She said, well, I need some green beans with it. If I had some green beans with it, yeah, there it goes. And you could see her smile real big, and all of a sudden she was just happy as it can be. I said, how do you feel about it now? She goes, oh, I got to have it now. With those green beans, it's really great. It was fascinating to see how people can add something and change. I'd never done that with a child before and seen, heard them say green beans. I heard lots of other responses, but not green beans. The point of the matter is we can add something. What's another way we can increase our intensity of desire? By the way, at this point, you might say, Robbins, I don't need to increase my intensity of desire. Why are you teaching me to want these things more? Because I want you to notice the pattern. I want you to notice what you do to increase your intensity. Because if you're aware of it, it won't have so much control over you. You'll start having control of it. In other words, you're the one running the show, but you don't feel like you're running the show because you've been asleep to your own patterns. And as you become aware of this, I want you to notice just how easy it is for you now to control these urges. Not only to control them, but be the director of your own emotions, the director of your own life, where you're no longer feeling like you're in a fight or a battle, where it's as simple as turning the channel and immediately getting a new experience, immediately getting a new feeling. You're at that level of choice. We all deserve that kind of freedom, and that's what I want you to have. So I do want you to see how to increase things. And by the way, there's certain things you might want to increase your feeling for. Just notice the pattern of how you do it. Let me give you the third one, boy. This is the one you got to watch out for. Invariably, when I get somebody who's like at the point where they got to have it right now, let me tell you what they do. They start thinking about a time when they didn't have it, or they start thinking there's not much of it left, or it's the only one, or it's their only chance to get it because they're not going to be able to eat again later on. I'm going to give you a simple example. In this family with these two children, I asked the boy, he had a soda pop in front of him, and it was a Hansen soda pop, a quote-unquote healthy carbonated drink. And what was interesting was, I said, what's your level of desire? Ironically, guess what he picked? 5 plus 5. I said, okay. I said, make it a 10. He said, I don't know how. I said, I know you don't, but if you did, what would you do? I said, just imagine it. Just let it be. Come on, you can do it. And I teased him. And so sure enough, he thought for a while, and he closed his eyes, and he went, oh, yeah. And you could see him light up. His eyes got real big, smiling real big, and he reached out, and he said, yeah. He said, I'm a 10. I got to have it. And he reached over and grabbed it and started to pop it open. I grabbed it out of his hand. I said, stop. Wait a second. What did you just do? And several of my friends with me were all laughing because, I mean, you could see his desire just go through the roof. I mean, he's literally grabbing for this thing in an instant. He said, I just imagined what it was going to taste like. And he changed his focus. He said, what was going to taste like and what it feels like in my throat. And I just love that feeling. He said, and then I thought about, boy, I haven't had one in a long time. And you know what? I only get one a day. My mom limits me to one a day. And wham, I had to have it right now. What did it? Scarcity. Scarcity, once again, that's the one that'll really push you over the edge. When you start thinking that there's only so much, or someone else is going to get the last one, or you're going to miss out on something, and boy, we don't make this very often, or it's not available very often, or I'm not going to be around this, or I'm not going to have access. It's amazing when you focus on its limited availability, how your desire goes through the roof, and you got to have it now. That's where the binge happens. That's where you eat the stuff you know you shouldn't eat. Just think to yourself, tomorrow, later on, it'll be here in a couple hours. Because remember, these urges will disappear the minute you change your focus. So when you get to those moments where you're at plus 10, you got to know you're not in a natural state. You're probably in a state of fear of loss or in a state of such tremendous focus on the pleasure you think you're going to get that you may be magnifying it, making it bigger and brighter and closer and tasting better than maybe it really even does. Doesn't feel that way afterwards, does it? Afterwards, that doesn't feel anything like you anticipated usually. It's so momentary and it's gone, and then you got to pay the price. When you think about that, you can lower your desire. Now, I turned this little boy, I took the can away from him real quick, and I said, okay, wait a second. Before you open this up, I want you to go from plus 10 and drop yourself down to neutral, where it was like, you could take it or leave it, and down to zero. Just drop yourself down to zero. I said, come on, you can do it. He was like all revved up, and he said, oh, I don't think I can. I don't think I can. I got to have it. And I said, no, stop a second. I took the thing out of his hand, and I literally put it where he couldn't see it. I put it behind his napkin holder, and he couldn't look at it for a second. I said, close your eyes. And what I did is I broke his pattern. I changed his focus for a moment. I said, go back to zero, which, by the way, should remind you, when you're all the way up there at plus 10 and you're trying to look at the food or think about the food and not be at plus 10, once you're there, you're in gear. You're in state. You got to break your pattern. Get up and walk or move. Change what you're focusing on. So I changed his focus. I got him out of there. I had him close his eyes. And I said, now get to zero. And you know what? He was able to do it. And I said, how'd you do it? He said, well, I started thinking about what I got to do with my homework. I started thinking all about what's on TV also. He started changing his focus to a bunch of different things. And as soon as he changed his focus, guess what? No desire. He wasn't focused on the food, so he didn't feel it, didn't have the desire for it. I said, now I want you to go beyond that. I want you to go to minus 2 about this drink you were at plus 10 about. I said, come on, minus 2. He goes, oh, I don't think I can do that. I cannot want it, but I can't get minus 2. It's too good. I said, come on, you can do it. Think. Close your eyes. Think about it. Come up with a way. And finally, he went, oh, and you could see his expression get a little weird. I said, what happened? He said, I'm there. I said, can you feel it? Are you minus 2? He goes, oh, yeah. I said, you're not just where you could take it or leave it. It's like you don't want it. He said, yeah. I said, how'd you do it? He said, add some lemon to it. Put lemon juice in it. Oh, yeah, minus 2. I said, that's interesting. I said, go minus 5. And all of a sudden, his eyes got real big. He said, I don't think I can do that. Minus 2 is bad enough. I said, no, come on, make it minus 5. You can do it. And so I kind of coached him and again and had him close his eyes and change his physiology and finally came up with it. He said, oh, yeah, all right, I'm at minus 5. I said, what'd you do? He said, oh, I realized that there's a better flavor in the kitchen. I said, oh, no. And he said, yeah, it's the same brand. It's just a better flavor compared to this. It's so much better. This is a minus 5 compared to that. I said, uh-oh, this is what a lot of people do in life. They stop smoking and they start eating, right? They substitute one for another. They create a substitute that's equally bad. So I said, no, let's try something else. I'll tell you what, I'm going to push it further. Go to minus 10. Minus 10 on that scale from minus 10 to plus 10. Come on. And he had to work at it a little while, and he said, I can't do it. And I just wouldn't let him off the hook. I said, come on, you're teaching me a lot with this. Help me out. And sure enough, all of a sudden, his face got all scrunched up, and he said, oh, gross. He said, I got it. I'm there. I'm at minus 10. I said, what'd you do? He said, I put some chili peppers in there. And we all started laughing. I said, all right, go for minus 20 on a scale of minus 10 to plus 10. Go off the map. And he's like, oh, I can't. I said, oh, yeah, you can do it. All of a sudden, he said, oh, my gosh, I got it. It's minus 20. I said, how'd you do it? He said, I put green beans in it, the very thing his sister puts on there to make things taste good. I'd hate to be their mom, I'll tell you what. She's got a busy dinner table. The point of the matter is, we can change in an instant. Now it's your turn. Having heard this little metaphor about what's happened with others, it's time for you to apply it to yourself. So this thing you're a positive 10 on, bring it down to zero right now. Look right at that food or think about that food or imagine the smell of that food and then get a feel for it, but then change it. Go right down to zero. We have no desire for it. Now, this may not be hard if what you had is an ice cream cone and it's melted by while you've been listening to me. I don't know what you got there. So whatever it is, right now, get it down to zero. What would you have to do? Now, you may have to close your eyes. You may have to get up and change your state. You may have to put it out of your sight for a moment. But what do you got to do to get it to zero? Try it right now with the food in front of you. Do whatever it takes. And stop the tape until you figure out how to get to zero and it's real. When I say it's real, I mean you really have no desire, no feeling that you even want it at all. From absolutely having a habit to where you don't feel like you need it at all. Do it right now. Go. Stop the tape and do it. Okay, welcome back. Are you at zero? I'm going to give you some tools after you're done doing it yourself, but I want you to know you already have the strategy to do it. You already know how to do this unconsciously. Make it conscious. Either stop the tape now, or if you're already at zero, let's continue. The point is this. What did you do to get to zero? Did you distract yourself? Like all of a sudden get focused on something completely different? Did you ask yourself a new question that made you go off into another tangent or something? Did you, number two, maybe manipulate your focus? Did you look at, maybe you're looking at the bread, now you look at the texture of the bread. You're no longer thinking about what it's going to taste like, but you're looking at the texture. You look at the brown color. All of a sudden you remember brown is not your favorite color, right? What did you do? What did you do to bring yourself down to zero? Think about it. You might want to write this down. In fact, I'm going to have Dr. Nate make sure you do this as an assignment so you keep it in your journal so you're really aware of this. But make sure, what is it right now? What did you do to get to zero? Think. Notice what you did. Did you slow down the image when you thought about eating it? Did you make it a still frame? Did you make the image black and white? When you wanted it level 10, was it in color? Now it's in black and white? Was it close when you wanted it? And now when you think about it, you kind of distance yourself from it? You know? Did you say something to yourself when you wanted it? Like, I got to have it now in this incredible voice. And now you're saying, I really don't need it. I don't really need that. What did you do? And by the way, this young man also, I left out a part. What he said was, when he went to zero, he said, I don't really need that now. And he said it in that kind of voice. Earlier he said, I haven't had one in a long time. I only get one. Oh my gosh, I got to do it now. Listen to the difference in the voice quality. The difference in the voice quality is when we have this urgency, we tend to speed up our voice a little bit. Sometimes the voice gets a little bit high. You can hear the pressure or the tension in the voice. It's in the body as well. Maybe you just breathe differently. Breathe, then you distract yourself. What did you do different with your focus? What did you do different with your physiology to go from plus 10 to zero? Did you add something to the food so it made it less desirable? Or maybe you put some salt on something that was delicious without it. Maybe you added some bitterness to it. In fact, let's try this. Go from zero now to minus two. Go to minus two. Where now you not only can take it or leave it, now you don't want it. What do you do to get yourself to minus two? All of a sudden, you don't have the desire. Have it right there in front of you. And if you need to, again, change your physiology. Move around. Close your eyes. Put the food aside for a second. Whatever it takes. But get this food to minus two, where you do not desire it. In fact, you maybe link some feelings of not wanting it. Again, stop the tape if you need to. Or if you can go there immediately, which you may be doing just while I'm speaking. That's perfect. That's fine. So either stop the tape, or if you're there now, we'll continue. Minus two. Now, how did you get there? What did you do to get down to minus two? You were at plus 10 when you had to have it. Now you went to neutral and now you're like, you don't even want it. How did you do that? That's fabulous. Look at the skill you have already without anybody telling you anything. You already know how to do this. That's my whole point. But now you don't know what you're doing. What did you do to get to minus two? Did you again do something to distract yourself even more? Did you manipulate the image so it didn't look so good? Maybe you saw the food kind of smashed up a little bit, or maybe you noticed something about it that wasn't all that visually attractive, or maybe you said something to yourself like, oh, you know, I don't need this, or oh, this thing will make me fat. Or, oh man, you know, I've had so much of this. Or maybe you imagine overeating on it. Or maybe you did something else. Maybe you didn't just distract yourself or manipulate the focus. Maybe you created some combination. Maybe you've created a bitter taste that you link to it now. You imagine eating it and being bitter or sour. Or maybe you started thinking about it smelling kind of weird. Or not being very fresh. Or maybe you added some other texture or some other taste or other smell or some other image to it. Or some other flavor to it that when you did that immediately, it dropped down the taste. Did you use something like that? Did you add something to it, like he added the lemon? What'd you do to make that thing drop down to minus two? Notice what you did, because you can use this in the future. Now, zip down to minus five. Go ahead to minus five. Again, stop the tape if you need to, or just do it immediately. What does it take to get to minus five on that scale? Or now you really have a major distaste for it. You would not take it in your body. You do not want it now. What's the deal? Did you imagine feeling full? Did you distract yourself? Did you look at it an even weirder way? Did you add something more gross to it, like when he added his hot peppers? What did you do? Did you imagine all of a sudden, like, because you ate the food, somebody else missed out? Did you imagine like being alone as you were eating it? Maybe you changed the social environment? What did you do? Did you make the image like still and small and tiny and far away of eating the food versus when you wanted it was big and bright and close? Notice what you do with imagery if you used imagery. Or did you change the way you talk to yourself about it? Did you go from like, I don't need this to, oh, that's disgusting. Or that's gross. Think of all the fat that's in that. If I squeeze that, all the grease that would come out of that, or sticking that stuff in my body, that probably goes right over there and creates those little cottage cheese balls on the side of my legs. You know, what did you do inside your head to get it to minus 5? All right, and go to the final level, minus 10. Get it down to minus 10 where it disgusts you. What do you got to do to get where it disgusts you? Get it so it's like, oh, I would never eat that in a million years. No way, that's gross. Absolutely not. No possible way. Get yourself to that point right now. Push yourself. Do whatever it takes. Again, if you say, I can't do that, I love it too much, stop saying that. This is a must, not a should. Just demonstrate to yourself you can do it. I'm not saying you can't have this food. You can push it right back up to plus 5 or 3 or 2 or 1 or 7 or whatever you want. I want you to know you have choices. That's the whole purpose of doing this exercise, not to take anything away from you. Because, see, if you're afraid that, oh, you're going to make it minus 10 now and then I'll never eat it again, I don't want to do that because you're afraid then you'd lose the ability to feel good. You lose the ability to give yourself that pleasure that food has given you in the past. Trust me. We're going to show you some other ways to get pleasure that'll be just as effective, or if you want to go back to eating this, you can. No one's taking anything away. Just prove to yourself you can do it. Get yourself at minus 10. Stop the tape until you're there, or if you're there now, we'll just continue. At minus 10, what did it take to get here? What I found for most people to get to minus 10, they got to start thinking about it in really intense, gross ways. They start thinking about consequences. They start thinking about what it's doing to their body. They think about their body deteriorating. They think about becoming ill, and as a result, losing the freedom to do things that are much more valuable to them. Or they start thinking about dying, or cancer, or heart disease. Or they think of somebody else who died because they put garbage in their system. Usually, for most people, they got to get down to a level where they feel alone or lonely, or they think, now I'm so fat, I can't even be with my friends, I'm too embarrassed, I've lost my dignity. Usually they tie into some higher value where they see taking this food in equals massive pain. And I want you to notice the pattern now. The pattern is this: to eat in excess or to eat food you know you shouldn't eat, you've got to get yourself to the point where you're depriving yourself in your mind and where you're saying to yourself, not eating equals pain. And to not eat a food, you've got to do the direct opposite. You've got to link eating this food equals massive pain, long-term pain, and immediate pain. Pain I'm not willing to experience. See, that's powerful. And by the way, when you do this at minus 10 now, notice you went from plus 10 to minus 10. Now, think about the food. Without controlling or directing anything, just take a deep breath in and then think about the food. And where do you go now? You may go right back to where you were when we started. You may be a little bit lower. Where are you now? Again, we didn't condition you not to go back to where you were. Just notice where you go. If you're back up there at 2 or 3 or 5 or wherever you started, that's fine. Increase it to 10. When I did this with a little boy, he couldn't get back to 10. I thought that was fascinating. I've noticed some people will get back to 10 really easily. Some people, after doing all this, they have a harder time getting to 10 because they've thought about some consequences. Interesting, huh? Now, go back down to 5 or 3 or 2. Go a little lower. Well, you want it, but you don't want it that bad. You're not taking it away. Yeah, you can have it. I could have it later. Later. Tomorrow. Later. Yeah, in a little bit. Use that little technique on yourself and see if you can get it down to 2 or 3. Again, if you think it's scarce, you think there's only so much, I can promise you it's going to be hard to lower from 10. So, oh, gosh, it'll always be. There's going to be a ton here later on, too. You know, right now, I'd rather do something else that's a little more fulfilling. What does it take? I'll tell you one of the major things I do with myself. I ask myself the question, if I eat this, what's it going to cost me? Or I'll say, if I eat this, what am I going to have to give up later on? Or what am I have to give up now? My energy, my focus? What do I have to give up? Nobody wants to give anything up. That changes my focus. All of a sudden, my focus says eating this equals pain. That'll lower your intensity immediately. Or if I eat this, and let's say I'm pursuing a particular physical goal, if I'm eating this, how much longer will it take to get to my goals? And as soon as I do that, guess what? I've changed the system. I can take myself not only down to 0, but I can take myself in the negative categories because my focus makes me feel like eating this is not a reward. Eating this is taking away. Eating this is creating pain. And then rather than just stay in pain, I ask myself, what could I have right now that I could enjoy and would also allow me to have plenty of energy? See, when I think of that, I invariably come up with like a piece of fruit, something that has no fat, something my body can use immediately for energy, something that tastes delicious. And you know what? As soon as I start realizing the price of other foods, i.e. what it's going to cost my body or cost me in choice, you can't imagine. All of a sudden, the fruit on a scale from 0 to 10, my desire for the fruit might go from 2 or 3 or 4 up to 8, 9, and 10 because I see it as pure pleasure with no what? Pain. It actually will change my focus on the flavor and the enjoyment of it. It actually enhances my experience. So right now, bring yourself down to level 0 on this food again. Get yourself to minus 2. Get yourself to minus 5. You should be able to do it that fast. You train yourself. Now, I know this may be too fast because you've only done this once. So you can turn off the tape, and here's my goal. I want you to be able to move yourself from plus 10, or let's say wherever you are, you don't have to get to plus 10 anymore. Let's say plus 5 or plus 7, down to plus 2, down to 0, down to minus 2, minus 5, minus 10, as fast as you want, or you can just instantly make it happen. Turn off the tape until you feel confident you can make that quick a change. And if it requires 10 or 15 minutes of practice or even 30 minutes, I want you to do it. What I want you to get right now is that you're in control of the urges. You're the one winning the game. No one else is controlling it anymore. So stop the tape right now and do this until you're confident you can change states as quickly as you want around this food.